Podcast 100, The Faith of the Centurion. The scripture for today's podcast is Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Last week, we reflected on hope and the relationship between faith and hope. This week, we're considering another one of the big three of the Christian virtues, faith. Remember, Paul listed these virtues as faith, hope, and love. And to look at faith, we're going to look at an example of a person who had faith in the New Testament and was commended by Jesus for that faith. Unusually, that person was a pagan, a foreigner, and a serving soldier of rank. Today's gospel reading tells the story of the centurion and his ailing servant and includes quite a rare thing in the gospels. Jesus commends someone for their faith. And it's notable, as I said before, that the person he commends is a Gentile, a soldier with rank, a pagan, a foreigner living in Israel. So who was this centurion? He's described in the Gospels as a hekatontakos, which is the Greek equivalent to the Latin word centurio. But he can't have been part of the Roman army, since there were no Roman forces in Galilee at the time. Instead, he probably belonged to the royal troops of Herod Antipas, who was the local ruler or tetrarch appointed by the Romans. He was probably a Syrian rather than a local Jewish person. Sepphoris, close to Nazareth, was the headquarters town and army base of Herod Antipas, and from there he ruled Galilee and Samaria. The use of Roman titles for his soldiers suggests that Antipas organized his troops along Roman lines. A centurion was in charge of 80 men, not 100, as the name would lead us to expect. In many ways, centurions were the real professionals of the army. Most owed their position not to family connections, but to their military ability and experience. Centurions enjoyed a certain status and reasonably good pay. Besides a level of command on the battlefield, centurions engaged in a wide range of other activities. General policing work, see Acts 27, customs work, and the supervision of capital punishment. That's why Luke 23:47 records that there is a centurion supervising Jesus' crucifixion. The troops of Herod Antipas seem to have been garrisoned around Galilee within local towns. Although centurions are presented positively by Luke in the New Testament, contemporary scholarship from the time makes it clear that they were mostly disliked by ordinary folk, who regarded them as oppressive, cruel, violent, and self-serving. The centurion in this incident is, therefore, an exception to the general rule. The centurion hears Jesus is in town and sends some Jewish elders to ask a favor of him to heal his servant. The elders are happy to do this and give an unsolicited recommendation to Jesus, saying the centurion loves the nation of Israel and has offered practical support by funding the building of the synagogue in Capernaum. Jesus responds to this request and starts on his way to the centurion's house. Somehow, the centurion hears that Jesus is coming to his house. He probably knows that Jews, especially rabbis, were usually prohibited from entering a Gentile house. We see an example of this in Acts 20:10-28, where Peter's talking and he says, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile." And Peter goes on to say, "But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." So the centurion sends his friends to stop Jesus from entering the house and making himself ritually unclean. In this, he makes a remarkable declaration of faith to Jesus via his friends in verses 6 to 8. "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, Excuse me. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Note the humility evident in this message. He considers himself not worthy to come to Jesus or to have Jesus come under his roof. And then he gives the declaration of faith that amazes Jesus. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus is stunned by this, so much so he turns and announces to the crowd around him, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. This Gentile pagan soldier has more faith than Jesus' own disciples, the teachers of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees and priests in Jerusalem, or even the Essenes living their ascetic lives in the Judean wilderness. So Jesus grants the centurion's request, and the friends return to the house and find that the servant has been healed. This event allows Luke to show that Jews and Gentiles can get along, a message of ethnic cooperation that was revolutionary for those times, just as it is today. We can only imagine the impact if the whole church today were able to visibly show how Christ leads us to respect ethnic diversity and to work together across ethnic lines. So what are the key takeaways of the story for us today? I think there are four. Firstly, following Jesus is available to everyone, regardless of occupation, gender, ethnic group. Secondly, sometimes you can find faith in unlikely places with unlikely people. Thirdly, Jesus can heal without physically touching or being physically present with the sick person. And finally, humility and gratitude, like the centurion's, should be the marks of God on our lives. They should be there for all the world to see.